welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, the 5th of October, 2011. Be prepared. Looks like fall is finally coming to the Old Pueblo. Later this week, high only of around 70 degrees, and the overnight low, maybe around 50? Oh, I could live with that. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, known as the voice and Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Also, our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240, our friends in Globe and Gila County listening to the Buckmaster Show. All of our friends in Cochise County listen out of Douglas on KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web on our website, buckmastershow.com, where we have live streaming of the show, and we also archive our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service, so you have several choices on where to find the Buckmaster Show. The best choice, tune in live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 here on KVOI. Today's lineup includes a leadoff interview with former state lawmaker Ted Downey. He says that Arizona needs a radical overhaul of how Arizona conducts primary elections. Then a preview of the Wildcat Walk to fight cancer. At the bottom of the hour, Lisa Schnebly-Heidinger joins us. We'll be discussing her book, Celebrating the Arizona Centennial. If you would like to join in the conversation, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll free 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, if voters say yes, next November, Arizona's primary election system is in for a major overhaul. The architect of the so-called top two measure is Dr. Ted Downing, who was elected to two terms as a state representative representing Central Tucson. Ted Downing is a University of Arizona research professor of social development. He specializes in participatory voting systems. Ted, good to see you.
Hey, great. Happy to be here.
Well, this is a very interesting measure. The media is calling it, I guess, the open top two measure, for want of another word. Is there an official name for this?
Well, yes, it's the Open Elections, Open Government is the official name. It was called on the West Coast. It's passed in Washington State. It's passed in California. And there it was called the top two primary, which is what the press sometimes calls it.
Why do we need to change Arizona's election system, the primary system?
Basically, we have problems in our system where very, very few people actually vote and make the decisions on who represents us. And we have a problem with the basic issue of the consent of the governed. You have less than 4% of all the voters in the United States actually decide their leadership. And we know here in Arizona that what happens is that a primary election picks the person who actually turns out to be the winner. And that winner goes on, and the voters don't have a choice. And so we were trying to find a way to increase voter choice and give more choices and more voice to the voters.
So, from what I understand, this would abolish the existing system of taxpayer-funded primary elections to select nominees for political parties.
Right, right. And basically what we've got, and you have to think of what we have as a system and voting system right now. I can tell you as a person who was elected, the thing that candidates and politicians fear the most is not an argument. They fear an election. And they've done everything possible, Bill, to make certain that you don't have to face an election. Politicians choose their constituents through redistricting. That's another issue. They also, through campaign financing, politicians now have unlimited rights. In fact, money has more power than the votes themselves. But how we vote is what we're looking at in this initiative. The idea is basically we have a wide open primary. Anybody, no matter what their registration, and can go in and vote on a slate of candidates. The top two candidates move forward. then there'll obviously be questions about how do you know which party is what. But the issue is that you'll have two candidates move forward in the general election and a strongly competitive election, because those will be two of the most popular for whatever office that is. It's applicable to all elections. An Arizona bill, this is what's so exciting. It covers, there are some exceptions, but it covers all county, all state elections, in all congressional and Senate elections.
Do you like what you're hearing? Call us at 790-2040, 790-2040. Do you like Ted Downing's idea about changing the way the primary system is so it would be the top two vote getters? And the top two vote getters, Ted, could be, they could be from the same party. Is that a problem?
It could happen. It happens. And you know what? They certainly won't be of the same flavor from the same party. And I think what's important, Bill, is that here in Arizona, we have this system already. We have two separate voting systems. We have the system that's used for most of the state elections in the county. And at the municipal level, except for Tucson, all municipal elections, all town elections are nonpartisan, just like we're talking about. So what we're doing is extending the local level system up to cover the rest of the state.
Now, you crafted the language here. How difficult was this? In which state, you mentioned a couple of states, did you use these states as models?
We started with our descriptions. I looked very, very carefully at Nebraska, which has had a system similar to this in their legislative races since 1936. So I've got a lot of experience in the Nebraska legislature. Then I discovered that in the state of Washington, in 2008, they had passed a similar initiative that has worked. And then we looked to California. Oregon had one which didn't pass, but California just passed this, amazingly enough, with $20 to 1 is against it, and all the parties opposing. It passed in every one. I think there's 56 counties in California. It passed in all except three. And the three tell the story. It didn't pass in San Francisco, in the San Francisco County, Orange County, and one other. But so this is this was a popular initiative. And to believe this, it passed in a primary election. It actually won.
What needs to be done? You would have to change the wording then of the Arizona Constitution?
Right. We'll have to. This is a constitutional amendment, and parties, political parties, are not in the Constitution. In fact, they're not in the U.S. Constitution either. George Washington warned about that and said, look out. He said, look out. In his parting farewell address, he said, sometime the parties may put their own interest above that of the country.
Uh-huh.
And if that's ever a prophetic comment, it's true today. So what we'll change is that we'll have to change the Constitution. And what we're doing is, you can imagine it this way. If you put the rights, the way the political system works right now, defined in statutes and created over the years, is that parties outrank candidates, outrank voters in terms of priority. We just flip-flop that. I made a little diagram. I said, let's just turn this over. Have voters' rights trump candidates' rights trump party rights? That's the essence of what this is about.
Why do you think turnout will improve dramatically with this system?
I think we're going to get that. Turnout could improve. I think one thing where we're going to see it is that the independents have a choice. Right now, you can get disenfranchised in three ways. If you're a independent, you have to go into a ballot box or into your polling station, and you have to decide if you're a Republican or a Democrat, because those are the only two ballots you can take. You can't split the ticket. If you're a Republican, you get disenfranchised later on, and a Democrat. If there were two candidates running in the primary election and yours didn't win, you're out of luck. You're going to have to go into that general election and vote the party candidate, or vice versa if you're a Democrat. What we're doing is saying, let the top two candidates emerge, let them come forward, and then you can make your choice. So you may not lose your favorite candidate if you're of one party as you move forward. We're enfranchising, giving a voice, giving a choice to all voters.
Do the parties have a right to the general election ballot? I think that's part of the essence of the argument on the other side.
No, under this, that right will be abolished. And it's hard to understand why they should even argue there's a right. They have a right to free speech and an initiative. We've offered them all the rights. The parties have all the rights to endorse, to empower. They, for example, do not have a right to taxpayer money for their elections. And you talk about their precinct committee elections. They're going to have to pay for those. We're also excluding the presidential race. But on all other issues, you can ask yourself, why should a political party have a right to limit our choices in the general election and decide just their candidates take that slot. They don't own that ballot.
So in other words, you could have as many candidates on the ballot in the primary, right? And it would just be the top two move on to the
That's
general.
Right. You could have so the top two.
It's very simple. It's the top two vote. Basically, the top two vote getters would have what would amount to a runoff election in November or whatever in the general election.
And I can guarantee you it's going to be a race. If we look based on what happened in the other states that have tried this and in Nebraska, you'll see yourself in a real solid contest coming up. Now, that may increase voter turnout. There's other things suppressing voter turnout, of course, than just the primary election. But one of the key reasons, if you're an independent, which represents one-third of the state, and I'm in that position now, if you're in that area, you don't really have a choice.
And you ran as an independent. Did you learn some lessons?
Oh, did I learn some lessons?
Did this come out of your run?
I did. I had no idea. I had no idea till I got in that independents in this state are, you know, they're lower than a tortoise's bottom. I'll tell you that. Here's what happens if you're an independent. You have to collect many more signatures. Running for governor,
so
you need 30,000.
So the system is really stacked against independents.
Oh, it's not stacked. It's wired. And it's wired. You even have to, you can believe this, by statute, the parties have put in that you actually have to have the last position in the ballot list, no matter what. And everybody saw in my case, the font was so small in terms of when it came to my, quote, affiliation. Yeah. It was so small you needed a magnifying glass to read it.
So what happens now with this initiative? When can you start gathering the signatures, or is that process
already We've started. Done? We're on the road right now, and the petitions are going out. We need 256,000 because it's a constitutional amendment. We have a good organization. It's here in Tucson right now. We'll be getting those signatures. Hope to have it all finished up long before the deadline in July. And I think that it's going to be fun. There'll be a lot of debate going on in town. We're always ready to participate in debates, pros and cons on this. I think once the public realizes what's happening, this is a major reform. What will it do for you? I can give you one example.
What will it do for me and my listeners?
Let's take Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
Mesa is represented by Russell Pierce. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows our senator and the recall motion going on. That same set of voters have a nonpartisan primary, much like we're describing here. And because of that, they have one of the most moderate, reasonable mayors in the state. Same voters, different system, different results. I can guarantee you that this will produce different results, and we'll have ourselves some people that work together in the state legislature and the county voter supervisors and across the board.
So where you had a state representative where the district would be two representatives, so the primary would be then the top four?
Top four. The top four would come out.
Yeah, and so this would change also the city of Tucson's elections, wouldn't it?
An interesting problem with Tucson. All cities in Arizona except Tucson have nonpartisan elections. Because of that, and the way the initiatives are written, Tucson will go into the state system of top two. So your ward elections would be the top two moving forward. What you would have, the difference is that Tucson is allowed in all the other cities to develop any voting system they want. They can change their charter. They can go to ranked choice voting or anything else they want to try. We left complete freedom to the cities, but Tucson would no longer have partisan elections.
Get back a little bit. We're quickly running out of time, but why would this save the taxpayers money, Ted Downing?
Well, you start off with the fact you can see it for your very eyes. When you go into a polling place, rather than two ballots and two sets of officials running, you'll have one ballot right there. The second is that the parties will have to, there'll be what we call a level playing field, that everybody will be treated the same. That reduces cost, it reduces paperwork, and we didn't go as far as some wanted. Some people wanted us to remove party registration whatsoever. We wouldn't go that far. That's in Washington State did that. But this will certainly cut all those taxpayer subsidies, including for voting lists. Right now, people don't know this, but the parties get for free. They get for free the entire voting list of everybody. If you're an independent candidate, you can pay up to $100,000 for that same list. So that had a value. We know its value, and it's being given free to the parties.
And you need 200 and what is it, 256,213,
if I remember right.
coming up now on 12/19 on the Buckmaster Show. We've been speaking.
I'll take any signature that's around right now.
Okay. Do we have time to go to? Yes, we do. Slip your headset on there, Ted Downing. And Jack, go ahead. You're with Ted Downing.
Hey there. I have a real problem with trying to, I guess my word I would use once again is coddling voters. That you have a system that has worked virtually throughout every state forever. I mean, forever. And just because people choose not to go out and vote in the primaries and then choose again not to vote in the general election doesn't mean the system's broken. It means the voter's broken.
You used a word, you had a real problem there. We didn't hear that word. Did you say hassling the voters?
No, coddling the voters.
Coddling voters. You
know, okay.
I don't think we're coddling.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. I don't think we're coddling the voters. I just explained, if you're an independent, you don't really have a choice going into the election. You have to declare a party, in a sense, by picking up one of the two ballots and voting. There are other restrictions. For example, your right to vote when the redistricting happens, which is another reform that still hasn't been finished, your right to vote at redistricting is determined by the fact that the politicians pick you as their constituents. That's what just happened. So we're not coddling the voters. The system is wired and rigged. And if people can, and that's one of the reasons people have 70% of this people in this country are not registered to vote. Maybe they figured out it's not worth their time. So let's give them a good reason to vote.
Okay, very interesting stuff. Ted Downing, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show today. Have a great afternoon, Ted. Thanks a lot. Okay, 12:21 now on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We have the catwalk, the walk against cancer. That's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:25. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Want to tell all our listeners in Southern Arizona about a very important event. It's coming up on October 23rd. It's a Sunday on the UA Mall. It's the 10th anniversary of Catwalk, and this is an event to raise awareness and raise money for folks who need treatment in cancer and cancer research. And with us is Ryan Kreese. Mr. Kreese is an accounting major. He's a senior at the U of A in the Eller College of Management, and he is a philanthropy chairman for Phi Delta Theta. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Tell me about Catwalk.
Catwalk is a Greek-run philanthropy. We do every fall for the last 10 years, looking to raise money for cancer and cancer research, like you said. It's primarily for Greek students. However, we would love for the whole community and non-Greeks to come and support and walk as well.
This is the premier public philanthropic event that is created by the U of A fraternity and sorority community. Do you get pretty good turnout from the Greek community?
I would say about 75% of our total turnout would be Greeks, mostly for the walk. We have a few that do the run, but the walk is where they mostly show up.
You've got, what, 3,000 people you expect to attend this year?
Yes. We're still looking for more people to register. As always, registration is open till the 15th of October, so anyone can still sign up.
What kind of money have you raised in the past?
We've raised almost $500,000 for cancer research, and we're looking to break that number this year and get up there and just keep helping out.
What about this is folks that don't want to run? Can they walk, or what's planned here?
So at about 8:30, there's going to be a 10K and a 5K that you can run. And if you don't want to run, you're more than welcome to come to the walk, which starts at noon, and just walk with a whole bunch of great people.
Where does the money go, Ryan?
So this year the money is going to the cancer research. In the past, it's gone to the Bobby Olson Fund, but this year we opened it up so it would be to all cancer research, male and female, this year, and at the U of A Medical Center.
And this is a tribute. I guess it started certainly as a tribute to Bobby Olson, wife of Coach Lute Olson. Bobby lost her gallant, long battle to ovarian cancer, and I think it was the U of A community saying, hey, let's do some kind of a tribute, right?
That is exactly how it started. Lute was a very important part of the university at that time, and we wanted to do something to help him out and help out
Who else is helping out in the community? Is there going to be some food out there?
Yeah, we'll have Safeway is going to be there, breakfast bars. EG will be there with some beverages. Coca-Cola is always a big sponsor. They'll have lots of products. And even Papa John's will be providing pizza after the walk. So if you want to do the walk and get some free pizza, it'll be right there for you.
You'll be certainly working up an appetite for a couple of slices of Papa
point.
John's pizza. Ryan Kreese, thank you very much for being with us. And again, give us the particulars. The registration is by October 15th. How do you register?
On www.catwalk.arizona.edu.
Or can folks just come out on October the 23rd?
You can just show up and register right there in the mall. You might see my face right there helping register people.
We'll be looking for it. Thank you, Ryan. Good luck to you. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about the Arizona Centennial and a very special book that has been created to honor our state as we get ready to turn 100 here in the Grand Canyon State. Stay with us. It's the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Unions and other organizations are swelling the ranks of the Occupy Wall Street protests in New York. It's a move that's certain to be blocked by Senate Republicans, but Democrats are going ahead with a rewrite of the president's jobs bill. They'd like to add a new tax of 5% on income above $1 million. Republican presidential hopeful Ron Paul says if the U.S. government is allowed to kill American citizens overseas because they're suspected of terrorism, the government could end up going even further. Looking at the Wall Street numbers heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the numbers are near the day's highs, with the Dow up 78 points, 10,885. The NASDAQ is ahead 48 points. More details at srnnews.com.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030. And along with our partners in Douglas and up in Globe, we pretty much have 8 of Arizona's 15 counties covered on the Buckmaster Show. And Arizona will soon be celebrating, actually the celebration's already begun, the 100th birthday, upcoming Valentine's Day, February 14th of next year. To mark the occasion, there is now an official book of the Arizona Centennial titled Arizona 100 Years Grand, a geographical, historical, and cultural collection of our state's best and brightest people, places, and events during the first century of statehood. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is writer Lisa Schnebly-Heidinger, whose book is... Well, actually, Lisa is responsible for crafting a beautiful centennial book, which I have before me right now. Lisa's affection for Arizona is as deep as her roots. Hearing as a small child that the town of Sedona had been named after her great-grandmother, Sedona Schnebly, Lisa became very interested in Arizona pioneers and history. Lisa has had a very successful career in radio and television news and has written for many publications, including Arizona Highway. She's the author of several books, including books about Arizona, Sedona, of course, and Tucson. Lisa, good to see you.
It's great to be here, Bill. Thank you so much.
I am so proud of you and this beautiful book that is in front of me, the official book of the Arizona Centennial. How does one even go about approaching 100 years of history?
I think if one had known what one was getting into.
Maybe you would have thought twice about it. My goodness.
Actually, it was something that simply had to exist. And I started the outlines 5 years ago, a little more than that because it was 2006. And my idea from early on was that no one could write an entire history of Arizona, even just the part during which we were a state. That's impossible. So I thought, all right, pick one pivotal event. And I worked into it backwards, Bill. I made a list of everything in Arizona that I think really deserves the spotlight. And then I shopped each thing around for a year that it would belong in.
And it's interesting stuff. I mean, every year is covered here, right?
Absolutely. We go from, yeah. We actually have 101 because we have 1912 through 2012.
I mean, there's just all sorts of things that people probably have never heard about in some of these.
I learned a lot.
MGM Lion, Leo the Lion. I guess there was, what was there, like a plane crash up by the Grand Canyon, and Leo the Lion escaped. Luckily, I guess they caught him. This was, 1927?
27, very good. And I would love to know, were those the best hours of Leo's life, where he was free?
Probably.
Or did he, was he terrified?
Yeah,
you know, there's bears
know.
Out here. Get me. I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's, so you obviously had to have some the chronological basis.
Yes, yeah. And each, in addition to the big pivot event for each year also has 6 other timeline events because I didn't want to limit it to only one event a year. So then there's a timeline on each page with 6 other things that happened that year.
And this book is really Arizona born and bred. I mean, even the publisher, the people that did the beauty, and it's beautifully, the binding, it's wonderful. You chose, rather than ship it off overseas, you know, printed in China, this is an Arizona book.
Absolutely. And you know, the best thing about that was we had already finished the book, and there's a page for wildfires, and then the Wall of Fire happened, which then became the biggest Arizona fire, outstripping Radio Chedisky and the Dude Fire. And because it was being printed here in Phoenix, I was able to call and literally say, stop the presses.
Stop the press.
And we got the Wall of Fire in as the biggest one.
Share with us, and maybe we can actually share a couple of segments from the book here over the next few minutes. What are you going to begin with for us?
I'd like to read a little bit about ranches, because there are ranches all over Arizona. And on the ranches page, 1936, I think, talks about land grants given by Spanish kings and how cowboys are the emblem of ranching in the American West.
Lisa Schnebly-Heidinger, an excerpt now from Arizona, 100 Years Grand.
Some who know actual cowboys scoff at the elegiac image of sun-browned men of spare words and long days in the saddle. Others say the description fits perfectly. Songs pay tribute to the cowboy. Some can conjure him simply with a harmonica. A cowboy in Arizona is more likely to drive a large pickup truck than ride in on his horse, but his distinctive dialect, ease with open space, dis-ease in crowds, and leathered laugh lines under a sweat-stained hat brim can still be found all over Arizona.
Very nice. That was from the 1937 page.
I think 36 on okay. Ranches. I would have thought by now I'd know every single page by heart, and I don't. Some of them have moved.
If you have any questions about Arizona history or any questions about the centennial, 790-2040, 790-2040. Lisa would be delighted to take your question. It's interesting that when Arizona became the 48th state in the Union, the final addition to the continental United States, Lisa, of course, February 14th, 1912, you would think that the then governor, George W.P. Hunt, would have said, this is an occasion for a huge celebration. Let's break out the fireworks, open the bars or whatever, but let's have a big celebration. Low key.
To a surprising degree. Now, one of the things, Bill, that had not even occurred to me when I started the research was, we don't know how many people in Arizona didn't even know they were a state. If you lived on a reservation, if you were a minor, how would you have even heard about it? I mean, it's kind of like Juneteenth, where the freed slaves didn't know for two more years. We do know that towns that knew we were a state made a lot of noise. I think most of that was firearm generated.
Shots in the air.
Yeah, Hunt didn't. I mean, there's not even really a cadre of official photographs. He walked to the state capitol from the Grand Hotel. He signed the paper. Now, the White House did run the first motion picture camera in the White House of President Taft signing his side of it. They had a fandango that night, but no, it was a very, very low-key thing.
Do we have any idea why the governor wanted just a low-key celebration, or not a celebration, just as low-key as possible?
He must have just been that kind of guy, huh? Yeah, he didn't have a good press agent. I don't know. One of the things that I was fascinated by, because I didn't learn this coming up through public schools, and I'm a very proud public school product. I believe in public schools. But I had never been taught that one of the reasons we were a state that day, rather than going in with New Mexico in January, was that it was the 50th anniversary of our territoryhood. Mm-hmm. We became a territory on February 14th, 1862. And I couldn't believe that wasn't something we all already knew. What I learned over time was that because we had first been a Confederate territory, not everybody was real high on that aspect of Arizona history. But to me, that's Arizona history. Yes, we were Confederate.
You know, I mentioned, Lisa, in the introduction, of course, about Sedona and the Schnebly connection. And when did you really start to realize that you had this Arizona heritage? And when did you really get interested in Arizona history?
Okay, I'm going to embarrass myself.
Go ahead.
I always knew that Sedona was the town and the great grandma,
yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
But I will confess to you, Bill, that when my father, and we traveled a lot around Arizona, would want to stop at a historical marker.
You said, no, please.
I thought, oh, man,
oh,
here
boy.
We go.
Oh,
I
my
wasn't,
goodness.
I wasn't good at it as a kid. I was not an eager student. I don't think I actually really got excited until I was in my 20s, and I was a reporter. Green Valley, Tucson, Phoenix, and I was traveling and covering things and learning more about Arizona and kind of fell in love with it in my 20s. And
the diversity is just so incredible. I mean, it's just, you could be in the mountains of the desert or whatever. You've got the water, and it's amazing.
People have no idea.
No.
What, 20% of Arizona's forest?
Yes.
Mount Lemmon's an hour from Sonora Desert. We have all the life zones except the beach. Yeah, it is so rich, both geographically and culturally.
The official book of the Arizona Centennial, Arizona 100 Years Grand, Lisa Schnebly Heidinger is with us. And Senator McCain is one of the contributors to the book.
He is. We were delighted. One of my greatest priorities on this book is that it be truly representative of all Arizonans. So we have two Democrats, two Republicans, two men, two women. John McCain, Bruce Babbitt, Rose Mofford, Jen Brewer all did forwards for us.
You know, we mentioned that story about Leo the lion. Give us another quick story from the book before we take a break here and come back with you with some more.
One of my favorite timeline facts was in 1931, the Hopi tribe made Albert Einstein an honorary chief.
What?
Yeah. How did they even know Albert Einstein? But there are pictures of him with the Hopis and pictures of him at the Grand Canyon.
Where did you do a lot of your research?
God bless the web.
The web.
I
was going to ask you if that made a huge difference.
But you know, the problem with the web, as you know, is then the fact checking.
Yeah, the accuracy situation.
Yes, we have an entire review board that did fact checking.
And we haven't even talked about the wonderful photographs. How did that come about? Who did you select?
Well,
was there a lot of different people?
A lot of different people, and that's because it was so collaborative. We didn't have a budget. The state, as you know, really couldn't responsibly fund a centennial celebration with as tight as money is. So everything was collaborative. Every picture in here has been donated, contributed. Some photographers even traveled to take pictures for this book. NAU Library and Archive gave us some beautiful images by Joseph Munch, who was an early Arizona photographer, and people, truthfully, some friends on Facebook. I would say, I need a picture of Mount Lemmon. And Peggy Pearson, who I knew in high school, had a picture of Mount Lemmon.
Oh, it's tremendous. We'll be hearing some more stories from Lisa Schnebly Heidinger as we continue. We thought that Arizona's a big state. It's a Grand Canyon state. And I think Lisa deserved two segments on the Buckmaster Show.
An honor.
For as big a title as Arizona 100 Years Grand. Stay with us on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show, and we are enjoying our conversation with Lisa Schnebley-Heidinger. She is the author of the official book of the Arizona Centennial, Arizona 100 Years Grand. And if you're interested in taking a look at this book, which I have in front of me, and I strongly recommend you do so, you can go to az100yearsgrand.com. And Lisa, I guess you're going to be doing a book. You've been doing some book signings all over the state, haven't you?
I've done a lot of Northern Arizona.
It's time for Tucson.
I'm coming down. October 15th, Saturday, at the Barnes & Noble up at La Cholla. From noon to 2.
Okay, we'll look for you over there at the Barnes & Noble, La Cholla, noon to 2 on Saturday, October 15th. Now, let's get back to the book. How did this project, there are a couple of centennial committees, there are two centennial committees,
yes,
correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So what was the process of these? Tell us about the two committees and how they decided on what type of book they wanted.
The first one is the historical side, the Arizona Historical Advisory Commission, and that's the one that celebrates the history aspect of the statehood. And so anyone can apply to be a legacy project by offering something that can exist now and teach about history in the future. So we knew we wanted to be a legacy project, and we applied and we got in. I'm also on both committees, so I had to abstain from the vote on that. And then the Arizona Centennial Commission is the one that focuses on celebrating. And so I'm on that commission as well, and I'm the community outreach co-chair for that. So quick commercial for the Centennial itself. Oklahoma Centennial kind of got to buy itself. It was oil money. The economy was good. We're not Oklahoma. And obviously, this is not an economy where we can just go purchase a ready-made Centennial. But to me, that works because Arizona has always been settled by kind of independent people. And we do things ourselves. We pitch in. So I'm figuring it's free to sing Happy Birthday. It's almost free to make a cake, and I think every one of us on February 14th can either be with our coworkers, our friends and family, if we happen to be alone that day, bring a cake to your fire station, bring a cake to your library, bring a cake to your bank, and sing Happy Birthday with somebody and celebrate the fact that we are the generations that get to be alive during the centennial. That's a pretty special thing to my mind.
It is the centennial, February 14th. You know, water is such an important part of Arizona's history, and I know that's an area that's been covered in Arizona 100 Years Grand. Why don't you share with us now an excerpt from, I guess, what
there are several water pages. Let's see. There's 1993 is Central Arizona Project, and 1996 is drought. And I can't remember if I think this was on the drought page.
Okay.
Which is, in Arizona, water is the capricious lover we court. It withholds, it visits. Sometimes it won't leave. While the job description of a river is to carry water, in Arizona that is largely a ceremonial title. But during monsoons, several inches of rain can fall in as many hours. Dry washes suddenly swell with churning brown runoff, water on a rampage. Year-round water courses, like the Salt and Verde Rivers and Oak Creek, gorge and grow so fat during monsoons they stage breakouts regarding their banks as advice to be ignored.
Very nice. Lisa Schnebley-Heidinger reading from Arizona 100 Years Grand. Do you have a favorite story, a favorite page?
Wow, you know I don't. There are
first person to ask.
They're
you
like
that.
Kids. You are. There are so many things I just love in this book, and some of the pictures capture me, some of the stories tickle me. I don't have an unfavorite page, because when you write about something, You care about it. You learn what's great about it.
It becomes your baby, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
In the Wild West, Tombstone, our friends who are listening to the Buckmaster Show in Douglas and in Cochise County, they'd probably like to hear a little something about Tombstone, Lisa.
I would love to, and particularly because I think that Tombstone kind of sums up what's true of all history, which is it depends on who you ask. And so there is a subjectivity to all history that Tombstone, yeah, that's a good one. Historical truths tend to be quicksilver things. Virgil Earp did, or did not, create the law that firearms could not be carried within Tombstone city limits. The gunfight that followed did, or did not, take place at the OK Corral. Wyatt Earp's friend Doc Holliday did, or did not, shoot Johnny Ringo. But the town of Tombstone lives on in lore because of some combination of all these things, and proves again that image trumps intellect. If Tombstone had been named Goose Flat after the land the town site was named after, the shootout might not have mattered. But maybe what matters are the stories around Wyatt Earp and Sheriff John Behan, the soiled glitter of Earp's common-law wife and Big Nose Kate, the stirring and wild quest of the Earps to avenge their brother's death. Maybe how many seconds the fight lasted is secondary to how hearing about it makes us feel. Maybe there's legend and there's facts. And in Tombstone, if you don't get a lot of the latter, you sure have a heaping helping of the former. The town too tough to die lives as a concrete setting for a pilgrimage we can make to indulge the universal request, tell me a story.
Very nice. The town too tough to die, certainly a part of Arizona history, and there's so much history, of course, down in Cochise County. I was just looking at the timeline, some interesting ones. We talked about 1927 and MGM's Leo the Lion escaping from a plane, crashed on the, actually it was the Mogollon Rim.
Yes.
And Leo the Lion is later rescued. You talk about some of the early days being a broadcaster. This one was interesting to me. 1922, KDYW signs on in Phoenix as Arizona's first radio station. That would later become, I guess, KTAR.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the beauties of Arizona, Bill, is how recent history is here. I mean, so much has happened in that past 100 years. We're not old.
1929, Zane Grey leaves Arizona. Why did he leave? He did not have a permit to hunt bear.
Anytime he wanted to. He left kind of huffy about that, yeah.
How about the educational component of this? This would be a wonderful tribute for the schools. And I know that one of the books that you have authored is a children's book. Is it The Three Sedonas?
Very good. Yes, The Three Sedonas, about
so
how the town was
I know
named.
You care a lot about education. You were mentioning earlier that you care about public education. What's the educational component to Arizona 100 Years Grand?
Well, naturally to me, this is for any age, because every teacher of every grade could pick this up and for 100 days tell their students a story about Arizona and find something interesting in that timeline for any age range. And I think that if we can give our kids a sense that history didn't start in 1776 back east and work its way west, that we have tons of history here, Father Kino and the Mormons and the settlers and the Entrada from, you know, over the Mexican border. We're just drenched in history.
We have to make history come alive for kids. And you pointed out earlier in the interview that your own experience, you as a kid, let's face it, you said history is kind of boring but it can be turned around, can it, if you find that kind of that nugget that gets the kids excited.
Yes, and that's the beauty of some of the things. I mean, the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, if you can get a kid out there who can see a rattlesnake and a bat, old Tucson, the rodeo. Remember rodeo? Well, when I was little and it was the only day that girls could wear jeans to school.
Yeah.
You know, whatever gets us into the tent, whatever gets us excited, whatever catches our interest. podcast. Let me quickly say also, because I forgot earlier, that 20% of the profits of this book go into the Arizona Centennial. We are self-funding. We're going to keep the party going throughout 2012.
And I like your idea. Find a birthday cake. Even if you're alone, take a birthday cake to a neighbor, yes, or as you say, a fire station. Say, hey, happy birthday, Arizona. And then I guess sing happy birthday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Arizona 100 Years Grand. Lisa Schneble Heidinger is the author that put this official book of the Arizona Centennial together. And I know you did have help because we mentioned the Arizona publisher.
Yes, done right here in the state. O'Neill Printing and Roswell Bookbinding stepped up and said, we're willing to back this even without money coming in advance because we believe that Arizona deserves a centennial book.
The book is available where?
It's available at the Barnes & Noble at La Cholla and one in Phoenix and on the website right now. They're still printing it, Bill. This is almost warm.
It's hot off the press.
That's right.
And that website, again, is az100yearsgrand.com. And also, Lisa will be signing this beautiful book Saturday, October the 15th, Barnes & Noble, the La Cholla Barnes & Noble. And Lisa will be there from noon to about 2 o'clock. So congratulations, Lisa, really putting a really beautiful book together. I know it was a big effort, but you rose to the occasion.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been delightful.
Thank you so much. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger is the CPA firm for the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to do it for our Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we have a leadoff interview with State Senator Frank Antonori. General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, will be joining us at 30 minutes past the hour tomorrow. So be with us tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon.
Ten 30 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR Douglas. And 12:40 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.